This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour. Coming up, my conversation with Pendleton Mayor John Turner. We're going to talk about yesterday's Pendleton Development Commission meeting, as well as the City Council meeting. That and more when we return after this.
Get your home ready for spring with help from Zimmerman & Company True Value. Let's talk filters.
You should change your filter, especially in our area, at least every season change. Most of them are recommended every 3 months, but I would say every 2 months is probably more realistic for our area and our climate. Keeps the pollen and dust and all that stuff out of air conditioner and furnace systems so that you don't breathe that stuff in.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street in Pendleton for over 80 years.
A Pendleton original. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning again, and thanks for joining us. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, and my guest this morning is Pendleton Mayor John Turner. And Mayor, welcome back to the program.
Dan, it's great to be with you. The weather can't quite make up its mind about whether it's going to be warm or cold. I followed the school bus up here this morning, and the kids are in their T-shirts out there, and it's 38 degrees. So anyway, well, we had a good meeting of the PDC, the Urban Renewal Organization, the Pendleton Development Commission, last night. The Jumpstart Committee has been working on something called the Path to Success, which is a business plan competition. They've been doing this for several years now, and I want to encourage people, if you want to start up a new business, you have until the 26th of April to apply to get a grant through this Pathway to Success. Right now, there's only 5 applicants. We had 32 last year, but they all applied right at the very end. At this time last year, we only had 6. So that means we're expecting a flurry of more applicants here in the coming week. And that's a nice grant that is forgivable over time and helps you get your business started. So the big thing that we talked about was communications surrounding what to do with the Christian Science building. Now, you know, we have all kinds of people saying, well, the city should fix it up and turn it into a performing arts venue or something like that. Let me make it very clear. The city does not intend to retain the Christian Science building. It's a very unique architectural structure. We want to make sure that the highest and best use is made of it. So we want ideas from our citizens about what this thing might be so that we can ultimately send out a request for proposals for developers to come in and do something meaningful with this building and retain its historical architectural structure. But the city is not going to spend $3 or $4 million building some sort of performing arts or wedding venue or something like that. So folks should know that. Now, what we want to do is we want to get the public's opinion about what we should be doing with the Christian Science building. We're going to put together an online survey, ask for options. There's a potential to build a plaza along this river walkway in there that might, let's say, for instance, become the farmer's market venue in the future, or something else there where we could hold events, maybe make that a wedding venue or something like that. So we want to get some ideas on what, if anything, that plaza might look like. We're going to man a booth at the farmer's market during May to give out flyers on this and maybe let people have a chance to fill out forms. On the 11th and 22nd of May, there will be open house at the old Christian Science building. So if you haven't had a chance to go in there, look for an open house on the 11th and the 22nd of May. So we're really interested in trying to communicate with people, with the public, and get their ideas on the Christian Science building. We spent, 10, 15 minutes talking about it. You know, the financial report for the PDC is that we have about $1 million as of the end of March. But as you can see, we have made a couple of grants I'm going to talk about here in just a moment. And by the time you look at, say, paying off last year's Pathway to Success business grants and other obligations already made, there probably will only be $100,000, $150,000 left for grants for the remainder of this fiscal year. But the fiscal year ends here in just a couple of months. Speaking of which, this is more city council business or anything, but we will begin our budget committee hearings for the city's budget in early May. I think it's the 6th of May is the first meeting of that. So we did approve a grant last night. Parley Pierce owns the old Oak Hotel. It's a 1904 building that has a storied background, everything from being a hotel or businesses to a brothel in the old days. And Parley's got plans of a couple of phases to fix that up, the first phase of which is almost $1 million. And he wants to convert the bottom floor of it into eight kind of bed and breakfast type rooms. And then eventually he'll put in an elevator. That'll be a phase two where he develops the second story of the thing. It's a beautiful old building. It's been sitting there empty for more than 40 years. Inside, it doesn't look bad. I mean, I was looking at pictures of the inside. It's really in pretty good shape. What he wants to do ultimately is to have suites that have their own bathroom, so they're nice for when people come to town. So we reviewed Parley's business plan, his finances, and architectural design, and made a grant for just under $250,000, which is about 25% of phase one for the thing. So that was the sizable grant going to Parley Pierce. Congratulations. We also have been talking about the ice rink project for Roy Raley Park. And we talked on the show previously where Liam Hughes, our Parks and Rec director, got a sizable grant of about $334,000 from the state of Oregon. When we started this project, that was going to be about enough to do the project. But since then, construction costs have escalated to the point where that's now about a $562,000 project. So Liam's going around to various places. The city has committed $140,000. Liam went to the PDC and asked for a grant of any kind. He said the $20,000 to $25,000 would be an immense help. And so last night we approved a $25,000 grant from the PDC to help with the ice rink project. We had something like 5,000 people use that ice rink last winter, and there's about 50,000 people a year that use Roy Raley Park. We had ice skating clubs, hockey clubs, coming from LeGrand, Walla Walla, Milton Freewater. I'm amazed at how many hockey clubs there are in this area, and they all use that rink. So when we get it done, it's going to be a great asset. And then during the summer months, it'll be pickleball courts up there. So the city wants to support that. Liam's going to look at some other grants to round out the construction costs, and hopefully we'll get started next summer.
And if I recall, just reviewing the Roy Raley Ice Rink project, this has to do with the coils that freeze the ice underneath, well, I guess, the ice rink. And
so we've been laying those out by hand each year,
right?
Manually, and then slowly forming the ice over them. It's a very laborious process. In this new design, those coils will be in the concrete itself. You won't have to take them up each year or put them down. They'll be less susceptible to damage and so forth. It'll just make it a lot easier to turn that into a hockey rink when the cold weather comes.
And then I wanted to go back just for a moment and ask Amir about the Christian Science Building. If anybody out there hasn't had a chance to give the city, I guess, their two cents of what they would like to see done, or they might have an idea or know somebody out there that says, hey, that is the perfect building for whatever. Who do they contact? Do they contact City Manager Rob Corbett or Charles DeKnight?
They can talk to anybody up in the mayor's office and tell them they've got an idea, and they will make sure that those ideas get sent on to the people. We have a subcommittee of the city council that is our communications subcommittee. It's headed by McKinnon McDonald and Sally Branson and Carol Innes. And their job is to take in these comments. So if you'll just contact somebody up at the city office, the mayor's office, city manager's office, we will make sure your idea gets to the right place.
All right. And again, as the mayor mentioned, there's a couple of open houses coming up. If you want to go and take a look at that building. I know it's a very unique building. I haven't been inside myself. I've just peeked through a couple of the windows. And yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what the future holds for the former Christian Science building. Well, talking this morning with Pendleton Mayor John Turner, we're going to take our first break, come back, continue the conversation after this.
If you received a letter from the City of Pendleton about backflow testing or cross connections, then your backflow device needs to be tested by a certified tester. The State of Oregon requires all backflow devices be tested annually and mandates the city track those tests. To find a certified tester to keep you in compliance with state rules, go to the City of Pendleton's website at pendletonor.gov and search backflow, or follow the links from the City of Pendleton's Facebook page. Thanks.
April 23rd is National Picnic Day, so at Mackay Creek Estates, they're celebrating with a special lunch. Join them beginning at noon on Tuesday the 23rd for a delicious picnic on site at their community. While you're there, you'll also be able to take a tour, learn about their innovative assisted living programming, and ask current residents about life at Mackay Creek. For more info about their community, visit prestigecare.com/Mackay Creek. Again, that's prestigecare.com/Mackay Creek.
When warmer weather hits, the City of Pendleton wants to help you get out and enjoy our beautiful parks, attend social events, and gather with family and friends. The City of Pendleton can help you get there safely, and a lot of those services are free or only cost a few dollars. Go to the City of Pendleton's website, click the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page, and go out and enjoy our community.
Live and local, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Joining me this morning is Pendleton Mayor John Turner. We just talked about the Pendleton Development Commission, now turning our attention to last night's City Council agenda. And Mayor, where should we begin?
Well, we had normal business. It wasn't really a very lengthy session last night, Dan. The first thing that we did was we talked about a bid for patching our various asphalt projects around the city. So we do this every summer or this time of year. So last night we authorized the patching work for Interstate Concrete and Asphalt Company not to exceed $200,000. This is normal and customary, and I'm shocked at how far $200,000 doesn't go anymore. Then we talked about a ordinance, 4014. Every 3 years, the state of Oregon revises its fire code to coincide with the nationally recognized fire code. And consequently, we do the same thing. And so we just go make sure that our fire code is in aligned with the state fire code. And we had our fire marshal, who's the deputy chief, talk about it. It was very routine. So that was ordinance 4014. And that didn't take very long either. Finally, a couple of agreements that have to do with the East End. So we had an agreement with ODOT on how we're going to spend the $1.5 million that we got from the federal government. Now, those federal grants are very welcome, and we wouldn't be able to do this project without them, but they're very, I'm going to use the word restrictive. Actually, they're kind of complicated on the rules that go around accounting for all the funds and how you can use them and everything. So we have a patch of that connector road that's going to connect Highway 30 with Highway 11 eventually, we call generally Goad Road, that goes across that property. And the end down, I'm on the north end of it, between, say, the water purification plant and Highway 30, that's where we're going to spend that $1.5 million of federal dollars. And when you enter to that, the city has to put up a 10.27% match. That's about $171,000. And we have to work with ODOT on it to make sure that we're complying with all the necessary regulations. So what we did was we just approved an agreement with that we're calling a federal project delivery for this connector road last night that will get us in there, and it makes that specific segment of the road a specific project, and that complies with the federal regulations around spending that $1.5 million. Then lastly, we have an agreement with the developer on how we're going to develop Southeast 15th Street. Some of you may know that as Franklin Grade. It's the road that goes up by the new South Hill Commons housing project and Homestead, the Youth Authority building up there. And that whole road is going to be designed by the developer, and the city then will bid the construction project and prepare the contracts and all that stuff. And then eventually the developer will get his money back. The city will reimburse the developer for the roadway design costs. And then once the project's completed, the whole agreement sunsets. So this is just kind of a legal housekeeping deal that says who's going to do what on the design and bid and contracting of that road so that we can get up there on top to the 48 acres that we've already approved for development. And you may remember a couple of weeks ago that the developer submitted a plat for 190 lots up there. So we're excited. This is a great project. We've been working on it for years. It's going to just really change the whole face of housing development in the city of Pendleton. And as I've said on the show before, we'll be building houses out there for the next 10 years.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that, Mayor. And I know that we have talked about, you know, the need for housing here in Pendleton, especially workforce housing. And now that this project is literally off and running, many moving parts. We've talked to you. We've had Public Works Director Bob Patterson talk at length about all the different things going in to make this dream, if you will, a reality. But, you know, as mayor, just what kind of feedback are you getting now that it's begun and, you know, the wheels on the bus are moving?
Yeah. Well, I chair the city's housing commission, and I was the chair of the first formal housing study that we did of the city back in 2011. And this is huge. And everybody's been very positive about it. Everybody realizes that we need more housing, that we need more workforce, we need more kids in our school, we need more people shopping in our stores and eating in our restaurants. And this is the way to do it. And these are not mansions that are being built out there. These are what we're calling workforce housing that your average family will probably be able to afford. So this is an exciting project for us. I mean, we've worked so hard to get the funding for the road. You know, we got $4 million in state money. We got a couple of million dollars from the county, $1.5 million from the federal government so that we can push this road through and open up this land to development. So this is the fruits of our labor for the last many years.
And one other thing I wanted to ask before we let you go today, and that is the last time you were on after that show, you were going to the bus barn groundbreaking. And how did that go?
Yeah, that's great. Right up here on H Street near the airport, we've obtained funding from the federal Department of Transportation, from the state, from Energy Trust of Oregon, and we're opening up a couple of facilities. One is the bus barn shelter itself, and another building that will have the offices and so forth in it for managing the city's public transit plan. So we broke ground on that on the Thursday right after the show. I believe that was the 4th of April, and McCormick Construction is the contractor. They were there. They're building the thing for us. And it's just, it's a nice facility that the city's going to get for not a lot of our dollars.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time this morning. Again, Pendleton Mayor John Turner, my guest. We're going to take another break, come back, and another little treat coming up after this.
Miss a KUMA coffee hour? Download the podcast. Go to elkhornmediagroup.com. Live and local, it's the KUMA coffee hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Join Team Wild every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wild Horse Resort and Casino will have a walk-in career event. Come meet the friendly team members for on-the-spot interviews. Wild Horse Resort and Casino has more benefits, including group health, vision, and dental, 10 paid holidays, paid birthday, vacation, and sick leave, employer 7% 401k match, education reimbursement, free meal on shift, and more. So come visit Human Resources on Wednesday for on-the-spot interviews and possible job offers. Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
Nation.
Your Walla Walla Regional Airport can help you with bucket list travel destinations. Alaska Airlines provides 101 one-stop destinations from Walla Walla. Discover Charleston's Charm or Albuquerque's Balloon Fiesta. You will find these incredible destinations on AlaskaAir.com. In between your travels, our airport district has lots to offer, including wineries, breweries, distilleries, cafes, and retail. Book your tickets today at AlaskaAir.com and fly Walla Walla, where parking is always free.
We bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with my next two guests, Kyle William and Brian Warren. They are joining me now as participants of Leadership Pendleton, the Pendleton Chamber of Commerce program that gives participants an overview of the various inner workings of business, government, agriculture, health services, education, social, cultural, and communication in our area. And gentlemen, I know you literally just were whisked into the studio here to talk about being participants of Leadership Pendleton, and welcome. And why did you two, I'll start with you, Kyle, why did you two choose to participate in Leadership Pendleton? Kyle?
That was an opportunity given to us by the Public Works Director. It seemed like a good way to learn something new about the city I've lived in my entire life. I spent 3 years away in the military, married here in town, and I've been here and I've learned actually quite a bit doing this.
And Brian, same question.
Going off of what Kyle said, working with the Public Works, you know, it was suggested to me. And unlike Kyle, I'm not from here. I'm from the Boston area originally. I'm retired out of the Army, and I've been out west a bunch of times, and I fell in love with it. So I wanted to move out here. I found a job, and then I started working with the city. And I never had a hometown since I was 17 years old. That's when I left for the military. So I never had a place as an adult I could consider a hometown. And don't let the accent fool you. I mean, I consider Pendleton my hometown now, and I get to learn everything about it. And it's wonderful because I'm finding out about services and different places and businesses that I never even knew existed. And it just makes me love the city even more.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. And Kyle, how often do participants of Leadership Pendleton meet? And what do you do during those meetings over the course? I believe it's an 8-month program.
Yes, sir. So we meet once a month. Each month there's a different theme, like this week's media. I believe last week was that education, or last month?
Yeah. Last month was education.
So we met with the school district, the ESD, the college, learned stuff. I mean, I graduated from Pendleton and I learned things that I didn't know. And then hearing about all the awesome things that the college is doing, and some of it I knew, and there's a big portion of it that I didn't. So, and I can't remember what next month is off the top of my head. I think it's the Department of Corrections.
Yeah, I think it's the law enforcement and public service, stuff like that.
So,
and Brian, what was your, or what has, I should say, been your biggest takeaway for you now that you have been participating in Leadership Pendleton?
It's made me appreciate the city and the county even more. Long story short, I knew nothing, even though I loved the people, I loved what I knew, but I'm starting to love stuff that I didn't even know about even more. Like today we did the Elkhorn Media. I didn't know about all the different things that you guys did and all the different channels that you guys are a part of. I knew about Coffee Talk and stuff like that, or Coffee Hour, not the SNL bit, but everything that you guys do, I appreciate, and it's helped me appreciate everything even a little bit more about this area.
Hey, Kyle, same question. You know, what did you gain by being a participant in Leadership Pendleton?
I'm going to feed off of what Brian said. I mean, it being a, you know, graduating from Pendleton, growing up in Pendleton, I thought I knew what went on in town, I thought I had a pretty good idea anyways, and then being a part of city leadership and city management, I thought I had an even better idea, and it's opened my eyes. You know, there's a lot going on that, you know, and like we were at the cancer center, mm-hmm. and listening to all the things that they do up there, it was just like, oh wow, this is amazing. Like the things that they're doing there and the people that they're helping and that, it's just, it's awesome.
Brian, there are obviously people listening this morning to this program who have not had a chance to participate in Leadership Pendleton. Why should they be a part of next year's class?
Well, like I said, I came as more of an outsider to this, and I've learned so much, and I've talked to people at work, at church, and just friends. Like, I do jiu-jitsu here in town, and I've told people about it, and they didn't even realize a lot of these places even existed. Yeah, and I pretty much explained to them all the places we've gone to, all the places we've seen, the things we've done, and it's created a greater sense of appreciation. This is the best word I can come up with, is appreciation for everything we have here. And it's an amazing program. You meet some pretty nice people, you know, they're okay, you know, but no, they're great people. But you get to meet a bunch of different people from a bunch of different businesses, and you have a good time doing it. It's a relaxed environment, but you're also learning in that relaxed environment, so you're able to, you know, really just accept everything that the city and county has to offer. So I couldn't say more praise about it.
And Kyle, what do you plan to do with the knowledge that you gain by participating in Leadership Pendleton once you graduate?
I think the goal with any leadership program is to become a better leader, to use that information and knowledge to better myself and hopefully better the people around me. And I think one of the things, like, I mean, Brian's new to the community, new to the Public Works Department with Pendleton. This meeting once a month, we've gotten to know each other better. We definitely harass each other a lot more. but it's definitely, you know, you've built some new friendships, new relationships within the community, just with the other classmates that are here. So I hope that we'll be able to benefit from that, and the community as a whole benefits from it.
And Brian, last question. As far as that camaraderie and everything, any surprises from participating in leader? Like, I did not know that.
I did not know how strong my Boston accent is periodically, because I get volunteered to talk on radio stations.
That was kind of unexpected.
It's very cute. I was told I was adorable earlier by a couple people. That kind of made me laugh, because I usually sound like I want to fist fight you, you know, with my accent. It sounds a little aggressive. But not really. I just can't say enough about the program and everything that we've learned so far. It's really eye-opening.
All right. Well, I appreciate you both taking the time. I know that this was literally just thrown at you, but I appreciate it. And I also know that you guys both appreciate participating in Leadership Pendleton. Again, Kyle Willman and Brian Warren, my guests, two participants in the Leadership Pendleton program. And if anybody wants to know more about the program, be sure to check out the Pendleton Chamber of Commerce. Go online. There's a whole description about Leadership Pendleton and how you can sign up and be a participant next year. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour, also known in the community as Coffee Talk. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition. Have a great day.
On us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.